Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Perfect. Hey, everyone. Oh, Danny.
Yes.
Danny's got blonde locks now.
Yeah. I have white hair now.
How Nordic. Yeah.
No, it's actually my sheep ancestry manifesting.
Oh, I thought it was your tribute to Philip Kirkorov. And welcome to another dashing blonde episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country that everyone thinks is just awesome all the time. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
I swear I had a better joke for that. And then at some point over the course of the last couple of days, I lost it. I've been traveling. I don't know.
That's America.
That's okay.
You were having a stroke mid-sentence there.
Yeah. And
you're
my
right,
apologies,
buddy?
By the way. Yeah, I'm fine. My apologies, though, to Danny for likening him to everyone's favorite Russian guy who's banned from, is he banned in Lithuania? Is that
right?
Oh, that reminds me. Here's the thing that I learned just today, actually. Did you know that Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit is banned from Ukraine?
That makes a lot of
sense. I did not know that.
He is. And it's not like because they know better or anything like that. Like they saw the writing on the wall, was like, oh, we can't have this guy. It was more like he is, I think his wife is Russian or something like that. And he made some offhand comments that were like, you know who's a great guy? Vladimir Putin. And that's a great way to get yourself banned from Ukraine. So, by the way, nobody take a sound clip of me saying that one thing. I would like to visit Ukraine at some point. So, yeah, let's not play a clip of me saying this. You know who's a great guy? Vladimir Putin. Yeah, no, don't edit that out specifically, please. Thank you.
Well, let's balance this out by ripping on the John Travolta film Fanatic for the next 15 minutes.
Okay.
Fred Durst directorial.
That's right. That's where we're going at.
What?
That was a thing?
You don't know what? About this?
I think it's best that I didn't, frankly.
Fred Durst has directed like 3 or 4 movies.
What's your favorite Fred Durst fact, Sam?
Yeah.
That he in fact would not do it all for the Nookie. Even he has some standards.
All right. Speaking of masterpieces brought to you by Fred Durst, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Again, are you suggesting I'm a masterpiece brought to you by Fred Durst or that the social media is a masterpiece?
Let's leave it
brought
ambiguous.
To you?
One of the social medias is, you'll have to guess.
Ooh. Yes. Well, either way, you can reach out to us on social media at either Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you have a burning question that you'd like us to answer, send it our way, either through Facebook, Twitter, email it to us. We are collecting your burning questions or even your tepid questions for our upcoming 100th episode, which should probably be airing in a couple of months because I believe we are recording episode 94 at the moment. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's coming!
Give us your coldest takes. We want the coldest takes imaginable.
I'm running scared. It's not that good.
Yeah. We'll have a contest for the 100th episode.
What is the coldest take
you can possibly come up with?
We're looking for creativity here, but it's still got to be like, a very uncontroversial opinion.
Andorra should either come back or not. That's the bar. Go below it.
The more tepid, the better.
That's right.
Should Andorra be annexed by Spain or France? Discuss.
We're looking for a real gazpacho opinion here.
Ooh.
We'll be talking about Spain a little bit in a little bit, I think. A little bit, yeah. So, as I mentioned, I've been traveling recently, and I feel like we've had this sort of thing come up a little bit more often over the last year, thanks to the Dunk and thanks to our pals in Måneskin, friends of the show. Please come on the show. Sam, you had an encounter with a Eurovision song in the wild recently, did you not?
I did, and at first I thought my brain was playing tricks on me because I had had a cocktail that evening, but I was at one of my favorite local restaurants, which is a Russian place in St. Paul called Moscow on the Hill, which has a fantastic patio. If you're ever in town, I highly recommend it. Probably some of the best pelmeni in town. But I took a moment to avail myself of the facilities, and as I entered the restaurant to, you know, do what I had to do, And as I'm waiting for the ladies' room to become available, I realize I know this song. And I'm realizing it was the Russian version of Sergei Lazarev's You Are the Only One.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah. And they're playing it, like, pumping at the bar right there. And I'm like, okay, wow. So after a drink, I'm just, like, sitting there kind of bobbing my head, wanting to do some of the choreography, realizing that the walls probably could not handle my body weight. So, yeah, that was a really very surreal moment. Just any song in general to be heard in the wild here in Minnesota, much less the Russian version. I mean, granted, it was a Russian restaurant. He is a Russian superstar. I'm not shocked, but I kind of was shocked. Good story, y'all. Good story. Yeah,
cool story. I had something kind of similar, but not really happen. I was in St. Louis over the weekend, which
well,
is
that was
place.
Your first mistake.
Yeah, it's a place you can go to. And I did go there. And one of the things you can do, there's like four. One of them is you can go up to the top of the Gateway Arch and look out at the mildly interesting skyline of St. Louis, Missouri, or you can look in the other direction and see nothing because it's Illinois and it's whatever. But I was they give you all of these this information about what it's like to go up to the top because it's an arch. You can't just take a super direct elevator. There's a tram you have to take, and the trams have been there for like 50 years, so they're old and weird, and I don't like them very much. But they noted as you're getting back on the tram to go back down to Earth that
if there is an uncontrollable shaking, please do not worry.
Yeah,
but do pray.
Yes, repent your sins and so forth. But they noted that it takes about 3 minutes. That it's pretty much 3 minutes to get from the top of the arch to the bottom. And I said, 3 minutes, huh? Well, I know how to time this out. So I pulled out my phone, and as soon as the thing the tram started tramming, tramness, I started playing ZTA Boney and was like, okay, well, we'll see if this is 3 minutes or not. And as it turns out, it was a bit of a poor experiment on my part because ZTA Boney, the version that I have, is actually 3 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh.
But you know what else, as it turns out, is exactly 3 minutes and 12 seconds is the tram ride down from the top of the Gateway Arch. It was uncanny. The second the song ended, the tram stopped and the door opened. It's amazing. So if you're ever wondering about how long it takes to do that, it's about one ZTA Boney in length.
Is that now an SI unit?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
And interestingly, you do have to sit down and be good in the tram because it's old and terrifying.
And I'm sure they probably recommend that you not just, you know, toque il coglione during the ride or else you'll probably get arrested.
I'll do it.
You heard it here first, people.
Honestly, you're locked in this tiny thing. You could probably do whatever you wanted for those 3 minutes and no one would ever know.
It is Missouri we're talking about. So.
That's, yeah.
The lawless frontier of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Anyway, the Gateway Arch is okay.
Cool.
It's fine. It's a national park now, so if you like crossing national parks off your list, it is one.
What is it called? Just the Gateway Arch National Park?
Yes.
Great.
That is exactly what it's called, yes.
Fantastic.
Again, we're talking about
it's no
Missouri.
Longer called the Jefferson Expansion Memorial White People Land Place or whatever it used to be called. It was good. I went to a baseball game. Their ballpark is really nice.
And
the zoo. The zoo there is amazing.
Mm.
Amazing.
Mm.
This is a Eurovision podcast. I just want to remind myself of that as much as anything. Anyway, my trip was great, guys. Thanks for asking. Let's see. What else do we have? So because I was traveling, a segue, I was unable to watch the thing that happened this past weekend, which was the 2006 remastered broadcast thing.
Yeah.
So what's the story here? Basically, they filmed it in HD, even though there wasn't really a ton of support for it at the time.
Yeah, it was basically done as sort of a pilot that the EBU and the Greek broadcaster like, you know what? I don't think we're quite ready to send this out to the masses. But, you know, let's see if this is something that we could potentially do in the future. So they had some of their cameras set up for HD filming and they did it as an experiment to see, okay, this is feasible. And I think starting in 2007, they started doing things in HD. But the footage from 2006 kind of got locked in a closet somewhere and just kind of sat gathering dust until somebody, you know, took the dust off the archives and, hey, we can show this to people. And so they did. So it's a very cool discovery. And it's very, very cool to see songs like Hard Rock Hallelujah, frankly, mm-hmm. in full on HD, which we haven't really seen
before.
There's
ever some guy's face that you desperately wanted to see in HD.
It's Mr. Lordy.
Mr. Lordy.
Get to see every little nook and cranny of that terrifying visage. So many nooks and crannies.
His face is not an English muffin.
Shut up. I'm not trying to.
What?
I don't know. Nooks and what other context does the phrase nooks and crannies ever really factor in other than English muffins and Mr. Lordy's face?
Fair enough. So what other highlights are there in this contest? Again, I missed it. I will certainly watch at some point. I'm just looking at We Are the Winners in this one.
Uh-huh.
That's a song that that definitely happened. Still Lithuania's best result ever, which is super frustrating.
Oh, the whoop.
Dima Bilan's first entry was uh-huh. in this one. We had Las yep. Ketchup from Spain.
Which was not as exciting as it actually sounded, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Let's see. We had Texas Lightning, which I thought was a very underrated song for Germany with No No Never. So Texas going country with an Australian singer, because that totally makes sense. Natalia Gordienko's first attempt, singing for Moldova.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what other major highlights. Oh, yes, of course. Taz Sampson for the United Kingdom singing Teenage Life. That's, yeah. If you haven't had the pleasure, Taz. Take a moment and watch that one.
Do they do that during their performance or what? Like, is there something unsettling about them?
Go
and
watch.
Basically, like the singing Children of the Corn.
Go and watch it and let me know what you think.
All right.
Should we watch it right now?
I'm going to go watch it right now.
Excellent. Why say why? Say what?
They're always giving advice. They're going rat to tat. So, we just decided to play a little bit of that for Danny, who had never actually heard or seen Teenage Life. Brief moment, Danny, how would you encapsulate your experience of watching that?
Sometimes I have to tell myself to not harp on the UK too much for their past crimes, but this is beyond me. Daz Sampson should be confined to the Phantom Zone and sent into the universe.
I want to know.
I don't want to inflict this man upon anyone else.
Danny, I don't know if you realize this. So there were 24 songs.
You're gonna say he's already in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's apparently trying to do this for Belgium now. Belarus.
He tried it for Belarus 2 times.
Oh, okay.
Maybe next year.
Belgium.
Yeah, that's the kinky boots thing.
Yeah, Belarus can have him.
Yeah.
Also, he assumes they don't know who he is and they don't know of his crimes. Yeah. Anyway, there were 24 songs in this international final, which is what I call Eurovision now.
this song, oh my god,
how well do you think it did?
Oh my god. Well, I'm gonna how well I want it to have done is last.
Okay.
How well I fear it did is like fourth.
Oh no.
Okay.
No,
how'd it do?
19th. There were 24. There were 5 songs that were deemed worse than this. I haven't listened to them, but I bet they're not. oh man. Oh, Lost Ketchup was below that. That's okay.
Well, that didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the ketchup. It wasn't the Acerje Aje song. It was a different song by Lost Ketchup. The follow-up single from those sustained hitmakers must catch up.
I don't need that.
2006 was an interesting year. I highly recommend you go back and watch it, at least, at the very least, just to see how the contest has evolved in 15 mm-hmm. years. In just 15 years, how much this contest has grown and changed and evolved, which it really has.
I have said that, that it's a good thing that I got into Eurovision the last, you know, 5 years, because it's starting to actually feel like modern music. And let me tell you, this sort of music that Daz Samson was doing back in 2006, that should have belonged back in like 97. Like, that should have been back with all of the gross, you know, when did LFO start making music? That's when that should have been.
The last time they ever started. That's mean. Like, two of the three of those guys are dead now or something like that.
Yeah.
Like being an LFO has a surprisingly high mortality rate. Anyway,
Anyway, speaking of mortality rates, did you see that Mr. Lordy has gotten the jab? He's gotten his second COVID vaccine. So, good honor.
They're using it for PR, like vaccine PR, not like weird PR.
Which is getting better PR, the vaccine or Lordy?
I mean, mask up. That's the advice.
You got it.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. I was curious how well vaccinated Finland is. As with a lot of countries in Europe, they are a little bit slower on the uptick than we were in the U.S. In terms of just getting the vaccines available to people and stuff like that. But they're getting there. About a third of the country in terms of eligible people are vaccinated now. And I was also curious, if you had to guess, which Eurovision country has the highest vaccination rate right now?
It's Israel, isn't it?
Oh, by
no.
far.
San Marino.
No.
It's not Israel. Because Israel,
let's see.
They got out the gate.
Well, okay, not in the list that I have anyway.
So Russia's too big and Russia sucks anyway. We got to go with something small, but
Malta
actually has a good... That was. Is that it?
It is Malta.
Hey.
It's something probably, yeah.
But I feel like Israel got out the gate pretty, pretty quickly when it came to getting injections into people's arms. And the pure numbers sounds like the worst CD, like the compilation CDs that you'd see commercial for.
Oh,
at, like,
God, yeah.
3 a.m.
NEA's
time life.
Pure numbers,
yeah.
It's just Zamfir reciting the numbers of pi for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Pan flute in the background.
So what I'm seeing is 5.38 million out of about 9 million in Israel are fully vaccinated. So that would not be top of this list anyhow. Yeah, Malta, 76% vaccinated. Iceland, 71.3%. San Marino, 67.7%. Yes.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, these are relatively small countries. I mean, San Marino's got about the same population as Roseville, Minnesota.
That's true.
How is Italy doing? Because they were hit really hard at the beginning.
Italy is at a little over half, 52.3. They're towards the top among Eurovision countries. Others that are at more than half: Belgium, UK, Spain, Ireland, Hungary, not currently in the contest, but are doing okay. Austria, Germany. Those are all ahead of the US. The US is at about 50%. Anyway, those are numbers I looked up that are hopefully correct. Vaccines. They're cool. Do it.
Yeah. All the cool kids are getting them.
Yeah, it allowed us to do to watch Eurovision together. So, come on.
If you haven't gotten yours, hopefully you'll get yours soon.
Yes, yeah. And if you're in Europe, I know that there's been a wait in some places, as we discussed. But hopefully the opportunity is there and that you will take it. Are there any Eurovision songs about like inoculation?
Love injected.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Aminata.
Well done.
That was clear.
Yeah.
You know, that's not her only contribution to the contest.
No, she said at least three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The queen.
All right. We don't talk about that one.
Okay, before you make me endure anything, we need to move on to the next topic.
All right.
Anything I don't need.
Yeah, the next thing we have in here, Eric, you wrote down the Go-A rumor mill.
Yes, I did, Sam. There have been a number of stories of varying levels of trueness about Go-A in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. The biggest, the one that made the most waves, is that they were working on a collab with Måneskin. That is not true.
As it turns out. Collabs. Yeah, a lot of teased collabs recently. Mm-hmm. Some true, some not. This one is not. Yeah. That's very sad.
Katerina, the singer from Go Away, shot that one down, said, yeah, that would be awesome, but I don't know where that came from. that's not happening. They did just get a record deal with, I think, UMG, which is a pretty big deal. And there are some collaborations in the works. They did confirm one thing actually is legitimately being worked on right now, which is a collab between them and Montaigne from Australia.
Ooh.
So that one is real. John's Tears may be up next after that, but no Måneskin in the pipeline for Go A at the moment. But again, they are now with Universal Music Group, which means they are label mates with the likes of Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift, which is pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, just these, I mean, they didn't win, obviously, but again, like, they've won. I mean, they might not have taken home. Yeah, they might not have taken home the trophy, but these artists still have incredible careers and incredible trajectories before, during, and after the contest. And just because they didn't take the trophy home to Kyiv doesn't mean that it's over for them. And like I said, right after the contest is over, this is where we step in. This is where we, as listeners, as fans, step in and keep supporting these artists.
You did this, 12 points, listeners. It's all you. Way to go. Give yourself a pat on the back.
We got the biggest fans in podcasts.
That's right. Take that, cereal.
My favorite murder.
We're coming for you.
Man, we should find out if there's some sort of Eurovision murder mystery.
Well, are there... Oh, I know. We could find out what a monster like me is referring to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be great.
Make that happen. Ooh. Yeah, that's the murder mystery angle, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, in terms of other collaborations, I found out about this today. I have to share it with you guys and the wider world. Honestly, the day that this podcast drops is probably the day that the song drops.
Yep.
A combination I never ever expected, and now that I know that they're together, I'll never be able to extricate them from each other.
Uh-huh.
Little Big
and
Netta.
Little Big and Netta.
Little Big and Netta.
Little Big and Netta.
Little Big and Netta.
Yeah, just a little.
They will be releasing a track together called Mustache this Friday, August whatever it is.
This is going to kill us all.
I can't wait.
We're just going to open it up. I don't know, because they're both very, very meme savvy. They both are very, very poppy, but very weird.
I'm just picturing
like the chicken vocals with the everything Little Big does.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, get away from the Netta chicken vocal stuff. Like that's one thing that she did in one song.
No, I know.
With her looper stuff and this is, I know that for some she is divisive and Toy was divisive, but I'm really excited about this. It could be absolute crap. I have no idea. But as of right now, before I've heard anything about the song, I am more excited about this than I feel like I should be.
I mean, I feel like Little Big is divisive in their own way as well, really, which is just me saying I don't really like Little Big, so I don't know how I'm gonna feel about this. It speaking of covers, actually this really isn't speaking of covers, although no, it is speaking of covers. It sort of, here's the thing I that crossed my radar today. There is a Swedish singer named Clara Rubinson who has not competed in Melfest or anything yet as far as I know. But released a little two-song single EP sort of a thing a couple weeks ago now, I think, but it's just making its way to my ears. The A-side is a cover of Love in Siberia by Le Bon, which was a hit in the mid-80s somewhere, and it's really good. It's a very cool, like, neo-retro sound to it. But the B-side, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is it has a version of a song she wrote called The Ride.
Mm-hmm.
That was covered by Rafał, or not covered, whatever, you know what I mean. For Poland.
I was gonna say popularized by, but I really wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I will say, so this is basically the original version of the song that was shopped, and that Poland was like, I know, let's have a 40-year-old man sing this. That'll make it work. And, you know, I was looking into this, and I thought of that as a joke, because Rafal seems like he's 40, and it's just really weird. I looked, he actually is 40.
Yeah.
So
this wasn't just a joke.
Yeah. You know, like when you tell a joke, but it's 100% true. Yeah. Anyway, if you didn't like the ride, I don't know that this is going to change your mind necessarily. I think it's better because it's not being sung by Rafal, but it's still kind of the same song, but it's an interesting take on it. But I would say check this out anyway, because the cover of Love in Siberia is really good. And I listened to a couple of her other songs from like the last couple of years. She just has a few singles out, like a lot of younger singers do. I'm not sure how old she is, but it's good. If you like Swedish pop music, like real banger type pop music, it's good. Mm-hmm. I was definitely a fan. And so, yeah, that's a thing that happened. I don't know if I want to say, like, watch out for Clara Rubinson at a future Melfest or something like that, but I was right about
a songwriter.
Yeah. Well, I was right about Tuse, so we'll see. Well, maybe this is my prediction. We'll see. So, yeah, Clara Rubinson, who wrote The Ride, has finally released. And I guess at least some of it was maybe leaked earlier on, like in the height of Eurovision season, the way that these things sometimes do. Mm-hmm. Like how there's that version of Sunit singing Cleopatra, if I remember right.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I never heard that.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit less.
It's floating around the interwebs.
Yeah, it's out there. It's not quite as hyperactive, okay. I guess. Yeah.
What's the point?
So anyway, that's that. Check that out. That's kind of a cool thing to see. All right, let's see what else we got. We do have one extremely brief bit of American news, the best news, which is that Måneskin is now officially a top 40 act.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Beggin.
Who would have thought? Like,
that a song about
so weird
Beggin strips, the dog treat, could go to number 40.
Their follow up, Snossages, is going to be a massive smash. Mm-hmm.
It's Snossology.
Yeah.
It's Snossology.
It's just really cool.
I just think it's so funny that the song that they were having such massive success was like a throwaway single from their X Factor journey from a couple years ago. It just happened to be the song that people glommed onto. I think it's so funny. I also find it funny that like about 3 days after Eric and I did the recording session for KMSU Radio Den in Mankato, and we're like, oh, darn it, we can't play I Want to Be Your Slave on KMSU just because they curse so much in it. Like 3 days later, they released a clean radio-friendly version that we totally could have played.
Wait, did?
They did.
Is it like 14 seconds long?
A lot of freakings instead of the, intended original.
Well,
things that like
sounds
that.
Freaking pointless.
I know.
I am always tickled, though. I am always tickled, though, whenever like an act sends a song to Eurovision that has like frickin' in it. And I'm it's very, very silly.
Frickin' beautiful.
It sounds to me, yeah, you're so frickin' bitter. That was Chingiz. I'm just like, why does this sound like it was engineered to be played at a middle school dance?
I was very surprised to learn that the original version of Lie to Me by Mikolas Josef had like an MF-er in it, among other things. Like that song was filthy.
Release the cut. Release the cut.
Oh, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had to clean it up so that he could, floss on a Eurovision stage to it.
Well, they had a music video for the original version of the song, and then they pulled it after Eurovision. So if you go onto YouTube, you can only find the clean version.
Yeah, same deal with I Can't Go On. Uh-huh. The original version of I Can't Go On was the original F and Beautiful. There was also another song in Melody Festival, and I can't remember if it's the same year or the next one. It was called I Don't Give Up, but the chorus was just I don't give up, I don't give up, I don't give up. What the others say, bleep that, obviously.
No.
That I'm like, you had to. I'm like, you know, you're going to have to change this if it goes to the big show. So,
I mean,
is it better to change it now or change it later?
I mean, maybe they just figured that it wasn't going to make it to the big show, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, and I guess you don't have to... I'm wondering, like, in Sweden, you probably don't have to modify English language curses.
No.
Yeah. I Can't Go On was uncensored on Melfest.
Yeah, yeah, like, at least the first version.
Yeah, I watched the Melfest performance, and I'm like, oh, he's actually saying it.
Yeah. It's a fun little loophole right there.
This concludes our brief history of F-bombs at Eurovision. Or... the F-bombs that could have been. Let us know your favorite F-bomb in Eurovision history in whatever. I think they did. I think somebody from Måneskin had one at the press conference after they won. We're just letting him fly a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely see some of the reactions, like their mics aren't on, but a lot of the green room artists are just dropping F bomb after F bomb when they're looking at like the results coming in. They're just like looking at the screen and going, "Oh,
oh yeah." Like I remember back in 2011, I think it was the Dutch presenter, gave out the points for the Netherlands from the Netherlands, and they gave their 12 to Denmark, and the lead singer of the Danish band just looks square into the camera and says, "I want to." You. and I'm like, okay, that was a thing.
Yeah,
that happened.
I do.
Yeah,
love,
but I mean, like, I yeah, people
have so much bleeping work to do.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
in this show.
Like, I remember during Salvador Sobral's winner's press conference afterwards, he's like, "I can't believe people are actually responding so well to my song. Like, I launched an album last year, and nobody gave a." And now you all voted for me? I don't get
not
it.
Long. Now I'm just picturing the Dutch anecdote. For some reason, my mind went to Destiny going, "Excuse my Dutch." I don't know. Why don't we say that? Why do we say, "Excuse my French"?
Because we hate the French. Because the English hate the French. That's it. It's why syphilis is the French disease. That's why, you know.
Huh.
All right, well, let's see.
What other, on the topic of syphilis, what other...
We have Junior Eurovision news, man.
What other Junior Eurovision?
The worst transition in the history of this show, and that is really saying something.
It's really, yeah.
All right, you can reach out to Eric directly at Eric, at E-R-I-K, is tweeting.
No.
For you.
What else do we have for
Danny? Danny
here?
Asked, I answered. That's all.
Oh man, guys, never change. Promise me you'll never change.
We actually do have some junior news, and let's
see. Decent amount of it actually. I mean,
yeah.
There's not a ton going on in Senior Eurovision in preparation for the 2022 contest. We still don't really know where we're heading, but Junior Eurovision is really just a couple of months away. They've given us an extra month or so of preparation time. It's going to be in December this year. The week before Christmas, basically, instead of the week before Thanksgiving. But yeah, we've got news rolling in. At this point, how many artists? We only have one artist confirmed, and that is the Portuguese singer Simão Oliveira, who actually was selected back in April. We just didn't cover it at the time because, you know, it was April and we were in the midst of all the big show news.
Yeah, but, read the room, Portugal.
But yeah, at this point, we have got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 acts. 13 nations that have been confirmed. So, yeah, Ireland, North Macedonia, and Portugal are returning after a year of absence. We know that Belarus is going to be absent for the first time. But, yeah, and more countries can still hop in. And we are now getting word about different countries' selection process. So, like we said, Portugal's already picked their artist. It was basically the winner of The Voice Kids, got the ticket to the big show, but we also have word of, let's see here, I've lost where my notes are. Somebody else take it. I accidentally closed my window, I think.
Oh, so I Junior Eurovision is the one with kids in it.
Yeah. I thought Portugal chose their artist by crying onto an open Bible and then connected the letters. then called whoever. Called whoever that spelled out.
What?
Dan Brown could not have come up with a better analogy.
That's how they pick their president, man. Come on.
Oh, I see. Yeah. This is Junior Eurovision. It's more important.
Yeah.
If this podcast ever had rails to begin with, we would be completely off of them. And never change, guys.
Did we
never
cover
change.
This German song that's coming in?
We do not have information on a German song, but we do know that a German national final will be happening, and supposedly it has a name that is making...
It's just, you know, like, we're going to Paris? Is that just, or like, what does this translate as?
We fart on Paris.
It's speed, right? Or like, we're speeding towards, we're rushing towards Paris, but it's just... They're far to knock Paris. Don't knock Paris unless you've farted it. But yeah, so I guess how long is this process gonna go? Is this gonna be just like, are we gonna know within about 2 weeks or 4 weeks?
Really quick, it means who goes to Paris. It does say ver fart knock Paris.
Yeah.
Because that's how you say that. It has the word fart in it, sort of.
I'm totally 12 years old. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, it's a one-shot national final. It's going to be on September 10th. So, you know, about a month or so from now, we will know who's singing for Germany. Only the second entrant from Germany at Junior Eurovision. Hopefully they'll do better than their last place finish in their debut entry. Sorry, Susan. But yeah, we also have word that Serbia is in, which I think I just said. And we have a list of candidates, and their songs have all been released for the Netherlands. It's going to be a four-corner contest, with three of the songs being bilingual Dutch and English, and one song is going to be trilingual between Dutch, English, and Japanese, which I think is pretty cool.
Noted European language, Japanese.
Honto daio.
I mean, it worked for Cleopatra.
Did it though?
Yeah.
It would have.
Well, that's going to be exciting. I mean, yeah, I'm always, you know, excited by new linguistic, not like weirdness, but just novelty in Eurovision.
Oh, yeah, totally. The song is called Matasugu Aone. Derek, we know you speak a little bit of Japanese. Do you know what that one means?
Oh, it's I'll see you soon. Yeah, I'll see
you. Yeah, because I is love, not au.
Yeah, well, au. It's written oddly because it's conjugated.
We will know on September 25th who will be singing for the Netherlands. So, yeah, just a couple of, maybe about a month and a half or so. The day after the Netherlands announces, we will know what is going for Poland. Malta will be having a national final of some sort, and that will be announced on October 9th. Georgia generally has some sort of a national final as well, but I haven't heard very much if they're going to be doing any sort of a Ranina-type setup, which they've done in the past, or something different. But Georgia always puts some effort and thought into it. But other than that, once we get more information, we will pass that on to you.
I'm excited. I just still think it's cool that there's such a different list of elites at junior. Like Georgia and Malta are just gods of junior.
The translation from standard Eurovision up from JESC is just... someone new coming to the contest would be absolutely unable to predict who the powerhouses are.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's off the wall.
All right. We have one. We have one other little bit of news, and it's maybe not the greatest thing to, not the happiest thing to end on. I guess we did have this bigger topic, but we've already run super long, so we'll see what happens. I guess, but we got word that Maria Isabel, who was Spain's representative at Eurovision in 2004.
Junior right? Eurovision, but yeah.
Junior Eurovision, my bad.
Yeah.
Has noped out of the music industry entirely for her well-being, for her own sanity, basically.
Yeah. And honestly, I give her a massive amount of credit to be able to prioritize her mental health and her well-being. And especially when she has been performing since she was super, super young, basically since the age of 9, and she's 26 now, to be able to step back from such an important, large part of your life and say, no, I have to prioritize the rest of who I am. that's a really big step. And I think we're seeing a lot of that recently, especially in competition, and we're seeing it in the music industry. We're seeing it in sport as well. It's definitely something that's come up a lot in the Olympics and in other major sports competitions, you know, with Naomi Osaka stepping back from a lot of competitions and a lot of the press and the hubbub around things in order to prioritize her mental health. Simone Biles as well doing the same thing when her taking care of her mental health also bleeds into the physical aspect of her sport. It's so, so important. And it's something that needs to be valued very, very highly. You know, we can want a performer to perform for us, but you have to remember these are people. You know, you have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Mentally, physically, emotionally. That's all part of it. And
we're seeing this at the Olympics right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you are.
It's well-deserved and a perfectly valid, if not preferable, choice to make.
Yeah, I'm going to paraphrase John Boyce here and just say that I think there are two camps in terms of how people feel about performers of various types doing this sort of thing. In one group, you have the people that understand that taking care of yourself is paramount, is extremely important, and comes before doing things that are going to actively cause you harm. And in the case of some sorts of performances could cause an incredible amount of harm if done in a poor mental state or things like that, and understand that sometimes you need to say, I can't do this. And then in the other group, there are assholes.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I mean, I hope that if you have had any misgivings about any of the things you've heard related to Maria or to Simone or to anyone who has made headlines for doing this, that you really take a look and understand that there are things that are bigger than entertainment.
Okay, I thought you were about to break into a Michael Rice song there, and I was really, really worried about you there for a moment.
It's bigger than us.
Damn it!
It's bigger than you and me. It's bigger.
Bigger?
Than us. Bigger.
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 Still more points than James Newman.
That song also inspired my favorite Eurovision Valentine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think is it our pal Jer Bear that did these, that does these every year?
I think
I think a lot of people do them, but just do these like cool, you know, cute Eurovision Valentines that are just puns on lyrics. I know there was one of the Riga Beaver that was like Happy Day of the Love. but there was one and it's just Michael Rice smiling and it just says it's bigger.
Oh, on that.
If for real, we've talked about this in the context of Blind Channel and other things, but this is something that's important to us, and speaking personally, it's something that's incredibly important to me. If you are in a situation where you feel like you have to choose between your own well-being and something else, you should be looking at your well-being. It doesn't really matter what the other thing is. Like we want you here and to survive and to get through stuff. And sometimes you have to do stuff that really sucks in order to do that. You just do. And nobody's saying like it's great that people have to stop doing what they love or take a break from doing what they love. But sometimes it's just what you have to do. And that's okay. It's really okay. I promise it's okay. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's bigger.
It is bigger.
I'm ruining my own speech. It's what I do. Anyway. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, but it's important to be said. It's really, really important. You listening at home, feel free to reach out to us. You know, send us a DM. We're happy to. You have a friend in us. You are a friend of the show that is extended more than just our entertaining, but you have allies here. I'll just put that out there. take care of yourself, take care of your neighbors. I feel like Jerry Springer doing like the serious talk at the end of the episode where everybody's been fighting.
Your pets spayed or neutered.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And for real, if you wanna have a conversation with us about that, that's great. If you wanna have a conversation about something else, that's fine too. And especially right now, we want to collect your burning questions for a big 100th episode, spectacular, whatever we end up doing. So
yeah.
So hit us up there with the socials.
Again, that's at 12 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter. And by the way, thank you to the handful of folks who decided to tweet us directly with the word moist after last week's episode.
Yes.
We did actually get some people doing that, much to my amusement and probably Eric's chagrin.
That's correct. And take that, moist. People who thought only bots listen to this show. At least the ones that do also have Twitter.
That's true. That's
very, very good bots. Or yep. Bad bots. Shame on you, bots. No. And thanks, but for real, thanks for listening and tweeting the word moist at us. That was awesome, I guess.
Yeah.
It was very moist of you.
Anyway, again, hit us up on social media. Let us know all of your burning questions, or the tepid ones, or the lukewarm ones, the slightly chilled ones, the ones you're going to have to put into the microwave because you totally forgot about it on your countertop. Mm-hmm. All of those questions, send them our way. Oh, man. Eric forgot about his coffee. But yeah, we are gearing up for our 100th episode in probably just a couple months' time, really. So we cannot do that without you. Just like we don't really do much of anything without you. We crave the attention.
We need you.
We really do. We need you. So I guess we will put our heads together in just a couple weeks with another topic for all of y'all and all sorts of crazy wackadoo interactions between the four of us. But I suppose until the next time, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
Ooh. And America.
Stop
listening now.
You know who's a great guy? Vladimir Putin.